friends. I'm so happy to be with you today sharing from our new sermon series. We are going to begin in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. I'll begin reading today from the NRSV. A leper came to him begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourselves to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began proclaiming it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Now today, it will be a little hard for us to understand the full impact of the gospel lesson without a little bit of background. And since I don't have much time, I hope that you've had your coffee this morning, because we are jumping right in to a little bit of background. First of all, the simple explanation of societal designations in Jesus' day was that there were people that were holy, and then there were people who were not holy. Within that basic definition, there was an unspoken caste system in which everyone fit somewhere. There were those who were basically always holy, like priests or Levites or church leaders and teachers or rabbis. Then there were those who were basically holy but had occasional lapses of unholiness. And those lapses could be fixed pretty easily through sacrifices and ritual cleansings. And then there were those who were pretty much always unclean because of the nature of their work or the circumstances of who they were. Those would be people like women, tax collectors, and shepherds. And then there were those who, for whatever reason, were totally unclean all the time and likely permanently. They were not allowed to participate in the community at all. This group included people with chronic illnesses, people who were married or related to outsiders, and people who had physical or mental disabilities. There were perfectly good reasons for this to have been put in place at the beginning of the nation of Israel, of course. Purity laws were established to protect the community from disease. But by the time Jesus shows up, these laws of purity had exploded into a rigid system of differentiation that was being used by some to gain power and exercise control over others. See, back in Jesus' day, purity was directly related to physical wholeness. And conversely, physical lack of wholeness was equated to impurity or unholiness. That there was no differentiation between the two. Therefore, people who were handicapped or chronically ill were considered impure. And furthermore, there was no concept of illness randomly affecting people. If you got sick, it was because God was unhappy with you. There was something about you that was unholy, that had offended God in some way. And remember, in Jesus' day, unholy was unholy. Unclean was unholy. You got that way either by circumstance of birth, contraction of illness, or certain behavior choices. And for whatever reason, when you became unholy, well, then you also became unclean. While rich people were not guaranteed holiness, of course, it was likely that you had a higher chance of being unholy if you were in a lower class, forced to work in an unclean or less highly regarded profession, or if you had inadequate food, shelter, or medical care, the end result being illness. In ancient Jewish society, being unclean meant not just that you could not participate in religious rituals like worship in the synagogue, it also meant that you were excluded from any and all social interactions because, you see, nobody wanted to catch your uncleanliness, therefore becoming unholy, therefore becoming isolated from the community. It was a vicious cycle and one that affected every part of a person's life. A cure for leprosy, as we know it, which is now called Hansen's disease, was discovered in 1946. But as the disease is often spread in remote areas with poor hygiene and inadequate drinking water, there are still cases in which people contract the disease and suffer from the consequences. While diagnosis and treatment are increasingly easy in modern medicine, last year alone there were over 400,000 new cases of leprosy discovered in the world. Leprosy is a contagious bacterial disease that affects the nerve endings of your skin. It is particularly terrifying because run rampant, sufferers of leprosy eventually end up physically disfigured in their extremities as they fall victim to the disease. This physical dismemberment results in societal rejection, even in modern day. You can imagine how much worse it was when Jesus walked the earth. And the disease had such a vast, far-reaching effect on someone's life. If you have time this afternoon, you know, take your nap, and then take a trip through Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, and you'll be able to see clearly the very detailed and intricate process by which society dealt with lepers. For example, if a person, even a child, was found to have leprosy, he was put out of the community immediately. The law said he was required to wear his hair disheveled and clothes of rags. He could not come within 50 paces of any clean person. And when he came near enough to be heard, the law said he had to cover the top of his mouth with his hand and cry loudly, "Unclean! Unclean!" That could not have been good for one's social life. A person in Jesus' day who had the disease of leprosy was a social outcast with no means of survival, alienated from family and forced outside the community. And worse than all of those things put together, a person with leprosy was totally and completely unholy and separated from God. So all of this background is enough to give us the tools to see our gospel lesson this morning in a much clearer light than we might otherwise. Would you take a look at the shocking turn of events? Jesus was heading out on his merry way, and this leper came up to him and asked him if he could heal him, begged him, in fact. And you and I know now from the historical and cultural background that we have that what he was begging for was more than a physical health. It was a restoration to the community. It was the love and acceptance of God. And having read the Levitical code on how lepers should be treated already, we know that the man shockingly violated the laws of his community. Remember, he was supposed to stay 50 paces away, cover his upper lip, and yell "unclean" whenever someone came close enough. We know the rule was broken because in just the next verse, Mark reports that Jesus reached out a hand to touch the man. He dared to come within an arm's length of Jesus, breaking the law. Now, Jesus grew up a good Jewish boy. He was considered a learned teacher and rabbi. There was no possibility that he did not know that the leprous man was violating the law. And there was no way he did not know that having any interaction with this man at all, even talking to him, would render Jesus and his disciples and his family and his followers unclean, unholy. There's a phrase in the text today that is the pivotal point, and here it is. Verse 41, our Bible says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him." Touched him. There are two things that we can take away from this phrase, and they are the light that shines on the message of Jesus. First, Jesus was moved with compassion or pity. This word pity in the Greek is the subject of some controversy within biblical translation circles. You see, in some of the earlier texts, this word is not pity, but instead anger. Anger. Scholars think that this early version of the text is probably more authentic. So, if Jesus was angry, who was he angry at? The man? Well, according to the scripture, I don't really think so, because right after this, Jesus says definitively and with conviction, "I want to be made clean." Jesus intentionally touches and heals the man. Jesus was not angry at the leper. Jesus was angry, you see, at the societal structure that had been set up for this equation. Cleanliness equals holiness, and holiness equals acceptance and approval from God. See, the way things stood in the society in which he lived, there was a certain standard of holiness, and if you were going to err, to make a mistake in your actions, it was always better to err on the side of holiness. Not sure if eating a certain thing was okay? Skip it. Questions about doing an activity on the Sabbath? Don't do it, just to be safe. Not sure if talking to someone would be questioned? Ignore him. Jesus knew the law of holiness, but his message flew in the face of that kind of holiness. See, in Jesus' message, we begin to see that if we have to err, we err not on the side of holiness, but on the side of compassion. It was a radical new standard. Remember in his famous Sermon on the Mount, a compilation of teachings found in Luke chapter 6, Jesus details an alternative way to please God. He says, "Be compassionate," or "be merciful, as I have compassion." To be sure, God is holy, but the law of compassion and mercy is higher than the law of restriction and alienation. The structures of society had been used, and they used the law of God to create a system that excluded people from God's love and grace, when God's intent all along was radical inclusion. It was then that the second part of this radical phrase hits home. Jesus stretches out his hand to touch the man. In doing so, he did not just express his anger at injustice. He took it one step further, risked the disapproval of the community and the possibility that they might very well consider him not just a weirdo, but definitely unclean, unholy. Jesus identified a circle that surrounded him, a circle of holiness and acceptance, of societal approval and religious standing, and he reached right outside the circle to pull someone from the outside in. Several years ago, on Christmas Eve day, I found myself alone. My foster daughter had just left a few days before to go to her pre-adoptive home, and my biological daughters were already at my parents' home while I waited on the services here to start. In the silence, I felt prompted and found myself at a veterans homeless shelter in downtown Richmond. I had gone to visit the biological dad of my former foster daughter and take him some framed pictures of her I had gotten him for Christmas. Before I knew what was happening, I was welcomed in and I was sitting at a table with her biological dad and five or six of his friends, all there for very different reasons, but mostly because substance abuse and prison had left them no other option. The only person working at the time in the shelter that day was an older lady who I watched while we all snacked on Christmas cookies and Chex Mix. She was walking around the room and would hover briefly at each of the residents, place her hand on their shoulder or their hand, do a small pat, and then walk to the next. When I was leaving, she walked me to the door and I told her I noticed her movements, hoping that she would share what she was doing with me. She turned and held both of my hands in hers and said, "Don't get me wrong, these men have made some awful choices, and most people wouldn't care anything about them after what they've done. But here, we want them to know they are seen and loved. And I have found that since they are ignored or actively dismissed by most of the world, the simple act of touch shows them love more than anything else." She was continually reaching out, outside the circle, for others to feel love. So what happened when Jesus made that bold move to touch the man? Well, a lot more happened than just a few people sucking in their breaths in disbelief. Jesus' action instead started the ball rolling that has yet to stop. A ball that pushes us from our positions of comfort and favor with God and into a circle much bigger than the one that we would like to draw around ourselves. Jesus' anger and Jesus reaching out to touch someone who was left out in the cold changed everything about who we know God to be. It's easy to soft pedal this passage, to sort of gloss over it and go on our merry ways trying our best to be holy But back then, after all, people didn't understand about illness, we could say. They didn't have antibiotics or penicillin, Pfizer or Moderna. They didn't know that if you caught a disease, it had nothing to do with your personal level of holiness. We know that now. Or do we? Who are the people outside of our circles? Think for a second, please. There are many in our society whom we dismiss and wish to exclude, but Jesus says no. The person who you might consider to be the most unholy, unclean outsider, this is the person Jesus reaches out to and welcomes into the circle. Who would Jesus reach out to from your life to draw in? Or is it you? Do you consider yourself like the leper, or at least like someone who isn't holy enough for God's compassion and love? Do you think you are excluded because of who you are or what you've done? Jesus says no. Jesus reaches out to you and welcomes you into this circle, just like he did that day. See, we might not have leprosy, but there is no way we're holy all the time. There are parts of who we are that put us smack outside the circle, unholy, unclean, unloved by God. This is where Jesus reaches out of the circle we draw for ourselves and for others, and reminds us that the law of compassion is the highest law of all, that grace and love and inclusion, these are real evidence of a living and vital relationship with God. This part of his message, this is the part that made everyone so mad. By inviting outsiders in, Jesus was turning societal structures on their heads, changing everything, introducing a way that was different. And change, trying something new, living a different way, well, these things are hard, offensive even. This holy anger and radical compassion of his led Jesus, after all, straight to the cross. This truth in Scripture today is showing us that the message of Jesus is a hard message, unpopular, against the status quo, but it gives us an opportunity where you and I are going to have a choice. First, will we believe we are inside the circle of God's love and compassion? And then, will we draw the circle around us tighter, or will we reach outside the circle to bring others in? Amen. As the band comes back up to play, I invite you to really take some time to think about how much you are loved. I invite you to think about a time when you know Jesus reached out to heal you and bring you into community with him and others with compassion and love. And if you haven't had a time like that, I invite you to take his hand now, to know that the circle is big enough for you. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.